So you guys remember that Diablo comic book that was going to come out and it was going to be about... I'm sorry. I just couldn't help it. Joe said this thing in my head. Yeah, guys, it's the Blizzard Watch podcast. We are talking about Blizzard and its various games and some other stuff maybe. We'll find out. But we have a lot to talk about this week. Not all of it's super important, but all there's just so much of it total. So I'm going to try to rip through some of this stuff really fast. The Mother's Blessing XP buff starts today. For Diablo 4. If you know what that is, it is what it sounds like. It's a buff to accumulated XP in Diablo 4. Combined with the changes they made, I want to say in Season 2, to leveling, the Mother's Blessing buff can really get you higher level much quicker than was used to be the case. So if you want to play Diablo 4 but you're feeling behind, you got a week.
Uh-huh.
It's about a week, right? It's from today to
next. It's about a week. It's until April 2nd, which I believe you're right. I think that is next Tuesday. So, yeah, you know, get a plan.
Next,
get a
next
plan.
Next week is April. Weekend. Next week is April. That's great. That's absolutely great.
Time.
While we're doing that, you should also talk about other stuff. Go ahead, Liz.
I just want to say that's a 35% experience buff, and that's a multiplicative experience buff. So if you have things like the... Season's Blessings, which increases XP, that can be a pretty big buff. So, definitely, it increases experience and gold gain. So, get in there, play some Diablo. Though, I'm a little down on Diablo right now because I'm accidentally seeing into a future topic because they just announced all of these great changes, but they're not coming until later. So, I feel like, do I really want to play now when there's all this cool stuff coming later?
It's like it's like the opposite of FOMO. It's like the ghost of foe to come. It's flavor of the future, I guess. But we should also mention really fast, Diablo 4 has got patch 1.3.5 today. Most of it was bug fixes, but as Liz points out here, ray tracing comes to Diablo 4. I like to call this, what? Seriously? Ray tracing for this game? And then I remember that Diablo 4 is actually a beautiful game. And in order to get that across to you, the game I'm playing on the stream is Diablo 2. Now, sorry, no, it's Diablo 3. I'm just messing with you. But it is Diablo 3. And while I don't think Diablo 3 looks bad, I think it looks like a game from 2012, which is what it is. Mm-hmm. And you can tell when you look at it that that is the way that the engine works. Go ahead.
I'm not really feeling the ray tracing in Diablo 4, though. Like, it makes more realistic shadows and better reflections, but while I'm exploring Sanctuary, I don't really see it, you know? Does that make sense?
Part of it, I gotcha.
It's visual fidelity that doesn't add much to the game.
Yeah. Deeper. Technologically, though, part of it also improves performance, and that might be counterintuitive.
Once your GPU can run it, it is actually much smoother. Hmm. But also, today on the 26th, Dragonflight has its Season 4 PTR. We're expecting it today. As of the time of recording, it's live now?
It's live.
Okay, it wasn't live yet when you sent the email.
So in the past couple hours.
So it's live right now, so you can hop on in there and see what Season 4 is going to be all about. In 2 days, on the 28th, Diablo 4 is going to Game Pass. It's going to be a Game Pass game. I can say that, you know, I've been playing it not on Game Pass because I bought it, and that's not going to change. Like, why would I not keep playing the copy I bought? But I think if you're interested in trying it and seeing what's going on, especially once they roll out the changes that they're going to be putting on the PTR soon. Although, heads up right now, we will also be talking about this. The PTR for Season 4 Diablo will not be on console. So if you're playing it on Xbox and you're checking it out on Game Pass, you won't get to check out the changes until the changes are made. You won't get to run the test. That's unfortunate, in my opinion. I think it would be good to run the test there. But I, from what they said at the Campfire chat, it's a limitation of simply they've never had to do it before. This is their first Diablo 4 PTR. I can understand why it would be hard to try and come up with that. Go ahead.
Diablo 4 Season 4 PTR is starting on April 2nd, which is, again, next week. How did this happen? April 2nd to April 9th, so it's just running a week, which is kind of what Diablo 3 usually did, like a week or two of PTR. That's not a ton of time to test, but it's our first go-around with the PTR. We'll see what happens.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. And also we should mention that while that PTR is going, Diablo 4 Season 3's ending was pushed back. It was pushed back because of the PTR. Mm-hmm. They wanted to give themselves more time to test things. Which, again, this is like another Diablo 3 thing. It feels very Diablo 3.
And respond to feedback. Actually give themselves a chance to respond to feedback.
Yeah. So they'll have basically, the PTR starts on the first week of April. They'll have until the second week of May and the end of the second week of May. May 5. That's when Diablo 4 Season 3 will end. My God, Diablo 4 Season 3. Wow, it's hard to do it the other way around.
And then you've got to say Diablo 4 Season 4, which is just
next season.
It's kind of a tongue twister at some point.
That one feels easier, though, because I won't get the number wrong. Diablo 4 Season 4.
That's true. I want to say Diablo 3 Season 4, and it's like, no, that happened. Like 10 years ago or something.
Quite a while ago, yeah, absolutely. But since we covered all the Diablo stuff, we should also mention that starting on April 1st, and yes, it's April Fool's Day, but this isn't a joke as I know, Noble Garden is starting up in World of Warcraft, and that one will be lasting until April 8th, so that's going for a week as well.
I've seen some data mining of new spring-themed cosmetics, but I don't think we have confirmation as to which of these are going to be for Noble Garden and which of them are going to be for just the April trading post. I have seen a really adorable duck wearing a flower on its head that's supposedly the reward for the end of the April trading post. So I'm looking forward to making friends with that duck. And that also reminds me I need to finish this month's trading post because I haven't. Many things.
That to me is the best sentence of the day. I knew we'd be making friends with that duck. And you sounded so serious about it. It's great. I'm really happy you're going to be making friends with that duck.
I am very serious. This duck is going to be my friend. Hopefully we'll agree on that. Hopefully me and the duck will come to an agreement.
Speaking of friends, I do also want to mention this one, which is one that you sent in. You guys remember, you WoW players, you remember Tyvon, the giant puppy? You remember him? He's in Dragonflight.
You can pet him. He's a good boy.
And he's the one. I forget the name of that zone now. I want to say Emerald Zone, but it's not called that.
Asheron.
Asheron. Yes, thank you. Asheron. You basically do the whole centaur storyline, and at one point you're riding on Tavon's back. Obviously, the centaur don't ride on people's backs, so Tyvon's it's a new experience for him. But he lets you do it, and it's great. You now can get an achievement. Starting as of patch 10.2.6, they slipped in an expansion-wide meta achievement.
And it's not Asheron, it's Onharan Plains.
Thank you, Onharan Plains.
I never get that one right.
But the achievement is a 100-point meta achievement called A World Awoke, and it requires you to basically do all the various a whole bunch of achievements in order to get the Good Boy's Leash. And the Good Boy's Leash is getting Tyvon as your mount. So there's a lot of achievements here, a lot of them.
It's so much.
Yeah, this is basically you are going to go and do absolutely everything in this expansion or pretty close to it. It's got Vault of the Incarnates, Andrassil, Emirdrasil, the Dream's Hope, Lore Master of the Dragon Isles, Dragon Quests, Dragon Isles Pathfinder, You Know How to Reach Me, Dream On, Avarice, the Shadowed Crucible, Mists of the Dragonflight Dungeons, Friend of the Dragon Isles, Oh My God, They Were Clutch Mates, Across the Isles, Kazara Yek, Zara Yek. And yeah, now this is the dragon racing. These are all the achievements. Go ahead, Liz.
You have to do just everything out there. And actually, the one that I think I'm going to be stuck on the longest is all of the primal storms, because you have to do them in every zone and get a certain number of kills in them. And that was like, you know, original Dragonflight content. So we're going back. I didn't do this the first time it came around. And now I have to kind of rewind and go back there. It's not hard at this level. I'm a lot more geared up than I was back then, but it's gonna be time consuming. Pretty yep. time consuming.
As many people pointed out, if they had just told us we were gonna get a good boy, we probably would have done all this stuff already. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It feels like they kind of a jerk move, really, to not tell us the good boy was coming. I understand that sometimes you want to leave some things, you know, up to the discovery, but I don't know, man. Between this and Plunderstorm, you guys were holding out on a lot of stuff that you could have just told us about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, that's the whole deal. You have to do this massive achievement in order to get the really good boy puppy. He is, however, a very good boy, as Joe pointed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, we talked about Hearthstone, you said, and we just talked about that achievement. So now we're going to go up to the top of this email and talk about more stuff. Basically, there was a lot of stuff, and a lot more stuff is coming, and we know we've probably lost some of it, but we're doing our best. And if you think of anything we should be covering, I know Joe pays attention in chat pretty effectively. I can't look at it and actually do the show at once. I'll literally spin out, so I leave that to him. But here we go. First thing we're going to talk about is last week we had told you that a Diablo 4 campfire chat was coming like 2 days after we recorded the podcast. Well, it did. And now we can talk about what they're doing. And they're doing a lot. In addition to having a PTR that's technically season 4 PTR, but they haven't actually talked about season 4 at all. We don't know what the theme's going to be. We don't know what the meta mechanic of it's going to be. Nothing. We have no idea about what season 4 is going to be about. But we do know that both in the season and in the Eternal Realms, there's a lot of changes coming in. There's a new function that will allow you to zoom your camera out. It's basically not quite as zoomed out as the world boss events are, because I've like looked at it several times now. It's sort of in between the world bosses and the current standard zoom, and it's closer to the world boss one than it is to the current standard zoom, but it's still not as far out as that one. I personally think this is a great change. I think it's a wonderful change. I think it's something that they probably should have had in the game when it released. Because I don't know if you guys ever have this problem. I know Liz plays necromancers mostly. And Joe, when you were playing, you played druids. Druids, though, can have a lot of playstyles. So you may have had this experience or you may not have. But for me, a lot of times I run forward. I see like 4 or 5 mobs up ahead. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll throw myself in there. And when I get there, I see just out of reach of my old camera, my camera from that old position, are like 300 guys coming running at me. And it would have been nice to know that, so I would have been able to hit one of my cooldowns and not die like a chicken. And so now with the new camera thing, I can zoom it out and I won't be dying like a chicken as much. So I'm happy. Either of you have opinions on this one? Before we move on to the other thing we're going to talk about on the
pizza. It's a great change. It's a great change. It should have had more zoom options from the beginning, because sometimes, exactly as you say, you just can't see the stuff you need to see. You just can't see the world around you. Not enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, this an asymmetric game, that's one of the pitfalls. That's why I like, quite frankly, I kind of wish they'd done the Baldur's Gate route and made it so you can swing the place around. I really enjoy that, and I think that it's in some of my favorite games, like Wrath of the Righteous and so forth, and it would have worked fine for Diablo 4. I don't know why they didn't do it. Maybe they were too far along, and then they were like, oh, yeah, we can't put it in now. Would make sense. But anyway, Joe, anything before we move on?
Nope.
All right, then we'll talk about what I considered the meat of the campfire chat last time. Basically, everything itemization in Diablo 4 is getting a pretty massive change. Rather than me talking forever... I'm going to turn to Liz and say, anything in particular you think of first that you think is the biggest change or the most drastic change, maybe?
I mean, I think a lot of these combine into something that one of the things they said during the campfire chat was that they want us to spend less time sorting and more time slaying in Diablo 4. And that's it. That hits the nail on the head. That's the experience, because currently in Diablo 4, you go, you run a nightmare dungeon, you come out with a whole inventory packed with loot. You can't fit another thing in your bags. And you're gonna salvage most of it, or you're gonna sell most of it because it's not good. It's not stuff you want to use. It's gonna, like, maybe you're in World Tier 4 and you're getting ordinary drops. It's not a sacred. It's not an ancestral. There's no way you're gonna equip that. Or it's really low item level. You're getting the item power, I think, in Diablo. You're getting, maybe you're up at item level 925. You're trying to hit that item level and you're getting these item level 700 drops. You're never going to equip that. Or you're getting something that just has convoluted stats because the game has so many stats. And you're sitting here reading the stats trying to figure out what's an upgrade, and you just don't know because there's so much going on. So you can spend an awful lot of time in an action RPG that's supposed to be fast and furious and about demon slaying, sitting and staring at your inventory, mousing over things and reading the description, and then reading the description of your gear and comparing stats. And it can be kind of crazy making. And in the past, I've dealt with that by saying, okay, I don't care. I just don't care that much. This is lower item power. Sell. And just not focusing on it, not really trying to do the crazy mental math that says, oh, well, does extra crit chance to vulnerable enemies do better than extra crit chance with bone skills? Or, just not doing all that convoluted figuring out and just skipping it. But now there are so many things that are going to make this simpler. Probably the biggest one is that gear is going to have fewer affixes. Mm-hmm. Just straight off across the board, they're removing a lot of stuff that is complicated, that's very niche, that only affects a few builds, and they're just removing it, and they're doing things that are going to be much more broadly effective, and they're going to be fewer affixes on gear in total, but they're going to be more impactful. They're going to be big things that are applicable to many builds, and they're going to be more powerful. So you'll have fewer affixes, but they're going to be more powerful, and I think the biggest thing is, if you don't have 100 different affixes that you have to figure out and sort through and think about, it's going to be easier to just look at your gear and say, this is an upgrade. This is something I want to equip, and move on with your life. Because sorting through your inventory management, not the most fun part of the game. So that's great. I think this is a really big step towards their stated goals here.
Yeah. Joe, I was going to ask you this one because you would remember it pretty well. Do you think this is equivalent to when Diablo 3 said, you know what, the real money auction house was a mistake?
Yeah, so I think it's maybe not as egregious because people still play Diablo 4 quite a bit.
I'm agreeing with you, man.
Stop me if I'm telling lies.
That was savage, man, but it was effective, yes.
But I mean, like, legitimately, you couldn't progress in Diablo 3 without spending money in the auction house, and it was by design, and people recognized it for what it was and just stopped. And it was they reinvented the game to get people to play it again. This is not as bad as that, but it has a sort of a feel of it of, hey, look, we know that maybe the accessibility of the game isn't what we really want it to be, and we know that it's turning off people from the game. We're going to start actually addressing some of those issues, which is nice. You know, it's good that they're taking a look at it and seeing what they can do to entice people to not just play again, but have an easier, more fun time while playing. Because I think Liz hit it the nail on the head. You want to be in that positive loop of smash demon, get loot, smash demon, get loot. When instead of smash demon, get loot, read loot, compare loot, use spreadsheet, double check on a couple different websites to see which one is actually better. Make sure your stats are balanced, then smash demon again. Repeat process. And people just got tired of it.
The whole part where you have to then you actually have to go back to town and dump everything into your storage No, you have to dump in your storage first because you don't even have time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you're doing world stuff and it has a timer on it. So you have to dump everything in the bank or storage or whatever, which means you have to upgrade your bank much faster. Mm-hmm. You have to get it upgraded really quickly. And then you have to run right back because you only had 12 minutes left on that Helltide and you're 10 embers short and you have to go kill some more stuff for some cinders. And it's just the game was fighting itself is how I look at it. It was one half of the game was that the whole fast paced demon smashing. And the other half was almost like Candy Crush with your gear or like Tetris. How can I fit all my gear into this thing to make it go? Voop, 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 voop. Okay, good. That got rid of some of it. Now I shouldn't feel like I'm running a nightmare dungeon and all my bags are full now. Well, I'll just start throwing stuff out of my bags and leave it there. Mm-hmm. That's the blue stuff can go on the ground. I don't need it that bad. That's why is that even happening?
The other thing is if you like have to get rid of all your gear, I will go to town. I'll go to the blacksmith and just say salvage all. I don't care. I just get rid of it all so I can get back to doing stuff. But if you're selling gear, which is pretty lucrative, you know, gold, you need gold to do stuff, and selling gear is the best way to make gold. There isn't like a sell all button.
Nope.
You have to go and click each piece of gear individually to sell it. And that can be a little time consuming when you're trying to, you know, build up your gold reserves. And this is not the fun part of the game. Why does this have to be like this?
Yeah. One thing I want to run through a few of the changes just so people know what they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the big ones is actually the Codex of Power, mm-hmm. which is that big book that has the enchants that you know, so you can just have those applied to gear. The way they are currently, there's only some of them in there. There are enchants that you can only get by taking a piece of gear to the occultist and having him break down that piece of gear and hand you the aspect. Mm-hmm. But aspect crystals are going away. They're gone. They're not going to be there anymore. What happens is every item that drops, if you take it and get it salvaged, that legendary power that's on it goes into the codex. You're done.
Which is great.
Yeah, and well, it doesn't. You don't have the thing where the enchant is only this power because it went from this piece of gear. You have to get the enchant like 12 times to get it up to its absolute maximum level. But that's it. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I have to hold on to these pants because they're like ancient legendary of this enchant. But I've got better pants. But I need to keep that ancient legendary enchant because I can't do without it.
Go ahead. The thing is that aspects in the Codex of Power were also weak. They were low. They were, mm-hmm. I think they were the lowest possible roll you could get on one of these things. Mm-hmm. So if you found something in the world, the Codex of Power got outdated and became useless very quickly because you'd find higher rolls on these aspects that you would want on your gear. So you'd be collecting crystals and then, oh, this next one I found isn't as good a roll. I need to keep what I have. And it got really complicated. And now you're just going to salvage your gear. You get the aspect at that level in your Codex of Power. And let's say later you find another piece of gear with a better roll on that same aspect. You salvage it. And now you get that level in your Codex of Power. So you can just take those and put them on your gear. And they will be as powerful as the last one you got. Without having to screw around and keep all of these aspect crystals and constantly shuffle things like, oh, I got these great new pants, but the only aspect crystal I have is less powerful than the one I have equipped, and this is already imprinted, so I can't take it off and replay. It just created some weird mental math that now you don't have to do. You just go into your Codex of Power, and it's there to use and customize your gear as you want.
Yep. As Liz pointed out already, they're reducing affixes on gear. For example, there's one less affix on legendaries, and I think two less on rares. So it's like for a legendary, instead of having like four, like they can have up to three instead of up to four. Rares, you have up to two instead of up to three. And that's, they changed magic ones because magic ones usually have one anyway.
Yeah, nothing different there.
In addition to that, they're getting rid of the current upgrade system, which is just go in, spend materials and money, and get the item level, the item power of a thing bumped up. They're getting rid of it. They just won't be able to do that anymore in the upcoming patch. The gear you have that you've already done that to will still have it. They're not taking it out or not removing it, but that gear won't be able to take a part in any of the two new systems, which is Masterworking and I can't remember the name of the other one. And that's annoying because I wrote the post. What was the other one? It was Masterworking and something. I'm going to have to open the article. I've got the article right here.
Tempering.
Thank you. Yeah. They're very different systems. They're not the same as what we have now. For one thing, there's no way to increase an item power anymore. That is not something that you do in the new system. Instead, with Masterworking and Tempering, you affect the way your gear upgrades. You're upgrading your affixes. Masterworking upgrades the affixes on your gear. Like if you have, say, a magic hammer with like a legendary hammer with four affixes, and you got those affixes as good as they can be rolled, because that's the thing. You can get better affixes that can roll to be like super high. If you get that item, you should hold on to it as long as you can, as long as its item power is competitive, because you can upgrade the affixes and they upgrade from the original rank. So mm-hmm. You have 12 ranks of upgrades there, and that's pretty straightforward. You just make all your affixes better. And every three levels, one of your abilities gets really buffed and the others don't. But then like for the levels in between, everything gets a slight upgrade. So it's a system that's a little random, but also pretty predictable.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I get why what they're doing there, and it's interesting to see. They're called greater affixes, by the way, the ones that are just like twice as good. There's a ton of possibility here, and you can even take an affix upgrade level off and try it again. You can basically be like, oh, I don't like what it upgraded. If you got one of your abilities got boosted, but it wasn't the one you wanted, you can do it again until you get the one you want. It's expensive, but you can do it.
Yeah. Because you're out all the materials. If you want to try again, if you didn't get that exact perfect roll, it's going to cost you, but you can do it.
The tempering system is the answer to the question, wait a minute, why do we lose an affix on the gear? It's because you can add new affixes to your gear with the tempering system. There's a manual that drops, like it's called the tempering manual. Yeah, it's called the tempering manual. It drops from various world mobs, things in dungeons and so forth. And it has a random chance of applying one of several affixes that's listed in the book. So you take that and you use it to upgrade your gear. You get a new affix added via tempering, but it's not the one you want. All right, what do I do now? Well, you try again. But remember, every time you use a tempering book, you have a limited amount of uses before that that item cannot be tempered anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that combined with Masterworking is how you're going to basically, gear is going to be all about managing your affixes, but the affixes are going to be stronger and they're going to be less like, you know, this is really good for this specific spec. But if you're not playing a shape changer druid and you don't want any of that, you know, now druids will want all the same stuff. So yeah. It's an interesting system. It's really, there's so much more to it that I'm not even sure how to explain it. What do you think I'm missing? I know that I'm missing things here. And also, we probably want to talk about some other stuff. So we kind of
maybe. They're also simplifying crafting reagents, which I'm also looking forward to. Like, because you know, there's particularly when you're crafting potions and elixirs, it's like, oh, you need this specific herb from this zone. And it's like, but I've been running nightmare dungeons. I don't have any of this herb because I have to wander around the open world. They are changing it to where it's like, okay, there are a bunch of like basic herbs and they're just basic herbs. You don't have to go farm in one particular zone. You just have basic herbs that you found. The higher level crafting materials stuff that's rare are still going to be like specific, but all of that basic material, you're never going to have to go out and like specifically farm, what is it, Gallovine?
Yeah.
Because you need to make some potions. So that little frustration will be a thing of the past. Hopefully crafting will be a little more streamlined and you won't have like this huge inventory list of the different crafting materials you have because some of them have just been combined into like, okay, you have some herbs, you have some ore, except for the really rare stuff.
Yeah. And even then the rare stuff is unique, specific stuff that you would have to do some content for. There's a lot of this. If you want to go check it out, the PTRs, we've told you about it already on this show. It's next week, basically.
Yeah, literally.
So yeah, you can go check it out there. There's also, they've added in something called the Pit, which they didn't explain well enough for me to really get a complete sense of it, but it feels like it's similar to the whispers that you would get, the like horrific whisper, and you would go to the zone and you basically just keep killing stuff until you died. It seems to be along the same lines as that. So it's yet more ways to do endgame content. Oh, one more thing to mention. Items will no longer drop when they're not useful in certain world tiers. If you're in world tier 3 leveling up, you don't get anything that's not sacred gear anymore. You don't get all that non-sacred gear that is immediately going to go into the item grinder. Like, as my wife put it, what am I playing, Pokemon Go? Am I getting candy for my gear? What is this for? It's similar to that. You basically just don't get any more of the stuff you're going to shovel into the wood chipper of the salvaging guy. You're just going to get gear that is at least sacred quality. And then when you get to World Tier 4, only ancestral gear drops.
Which is great, because sometimes you'll be playing on World Tier 4 and you'll be getting these super low non-ancestral, non-sacred pieces of gear, and it serves no point except to have something that you have to look at and say, okay, I don't even want to pick that up. And so like, you're running through a dungeon, you have to make that decision, or you're picking up everything and then you wind up back at the vendor in town and you have to look individually at every piece of gear and say, okay, this one isn't sacred trash, this one isn't sacred trash, this one isn't, you know.
Yep.
It's so time consuming and so not fun.
And
why?
The last change they made, which is related to this, is that once you get to 95 and above, when you are killing 95 and above monsters, they will only drop max item power gear. They will only drop 925 gear. And the reason for that is once you're that high level, anything less is a felony. Sorry, no, I just couldn't stop myself. It's a song quote. But seriously, anything less than 925 at that level is basically only kept because you can artificially boost it to 925, and that's not happening anymore. That's not how we do boosting anymore. So it's basically not worth it to have, like, having a piece of 890 gear drop, if it's got good stats or whatever, but it's 890 and you're at level 100. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't even use it to use that really cool affix because it's so much weaker than what I already have. So yeah, these are all really good changes.
This fixes so many gear annoyances. It's going to be really great to see it in practice. And like I said earlier, it's hard to get enthusiasm to play Diablo 4 right now because I'm going to have to log on and do this kind of gear management grind. Or I could just wait and log in later and not do that and have a better itemization system. So I'm both more enthusiastic about Diablo 4 and less enthusiastic about Diablo 4.
I feel
all
like
at the same.
For me, now is the time to level. Now is the time for me to level the characters I would normally not want to level or play, because I'm not going to be upset if their gear is bad. I usually get really upset if my gear is bad. Like, I'm laser focused on making my gear as good as possible. But now, who cares? It's not like it's going to matter. So yeah, I'm in there. But we do have a lot of other stuff to talk about, so we should talk at least about the WoW Classic Season of Discovery Phase 3, which is coming out on April 4th, because it's going to have level 50 is max level. Sunken Temple, which, you know, if you've ever played Sunken Temple, I am pretty sure this is the original Sunken Temple map. So that's going to be the raid. That's going to be a raid. And I got to tell you, that's an inspired choice, because Sunken Temple was already as confusing as like any three raids from original WoW. Like I remember how we thought that Blackwing Lair was ridiculous. Like Joe, Liz, I know you were both in there.
Yeah.
Think about Sunken Temple as a raid, and that basement, and going up into all those alcoves above to kill the guy guarding.
Can I be honest? I think Sunken Temple should have always been a raid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It will work perfectly as a raid because it's so big and there's so many places that you could put in mini bosses everywhere. I'm super excited to see what they do with that. There's also go ahead, Liz.
We do note this is a 20-player raid. The previous raids they've added have been 10-player raids, so this is a little different. And Sunken Temple is going to have 8 bosses, and we don't know what they all are yet. So it's going to be kind of an adventure. We'll see how it turns out.
Mm-hmm. And think about what the ghosts are going to do to all the raiders.
Oh, and okay, one very important thing. One of the pieces of loot from Sunken Temple is the Temple Explorer's Gun Axe, which is a two-handed axe that is also a gun. So, you know, if you can use two-handed axes, but you're really sad because you can't use guns, now you can. So,
well, plus they would have been able to back then because this is WoW Classic rules. So, yeah, anybody who can use a two-handed sword except paladins. So
it's I think this is paladins and shaman can use two-handed axes, but couldn't use ranged weapons.
Yeah, can they use this as a gun?
Yeah,
that's really fun.
It's not a gun. It's not technically a ranged weapon. It's a two-handed axe, but it has an on-use ability to fire it like a gun. So
that's really cool.
It's an axe. It's a gun. It's a gun axe.
Shaman, I'm giving Shaman Wind Fury, and that sound hilarious to me.
I would be all about this.
But also, they're upgrading the Blood Moon event, so it's going to have more stuff for higher level characters, level 50 characters. There's going to be more of that crazy kill everybody PvP stuff if you're into that kind of thing. And yeah,
free for all, crazy. Yeah.
And they're also putting in the Nightmare Invasion, which is kind of the opposite of the Dragons of Nightmare. Instead of you going to the Dragons of Nightmare and fighting them there, you go to where the Dragons of Nightmare would have been in WoW Classic. You go through the portals and into the Emerald Dream, and you do stuff in there. What stuff? I don't know. Go ahead,
Liz. It's a little unclear. It's a little unclear what you're doing, except you're fighting corrupted enemies of some kind.
Yep.
And some of them you'll be able to do by yourself. Some of them will require a group. We don't know which ones are which or where they are.
I'm curious to see what assets they use for the Emerald Dream here.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to use the ones from Ymirdrasil? Are they going to use the ones from the original Emerald Dream that never actually got into the game? Like there's a lot.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Until we see it, we don't know, but all of that's worth knowing about. And I thought I should mention it. Also coming up, for WoW Classic. This is Wrath of the Lich King Classic, though not Season of Discovery. The Operation Nomragon and Zalazane's Fall events are now live as of today as we're recording this, the 26th. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, they weren't direct leads into Cataclysm, but they were very much just before Cataclysm in terms of what they are. Which is that you go in as a gnome and you sort of reclaim some of Nomragon, which to me honestly felt really annoying. It's why I stopped playing my gnome, quite frankly.
Sort of, but not really. Valiant effort was made.
Yeah. You get the first floor back. Now you've got like a staging ground to go further into Nomragon. I'm like, why do we want to? Let's just cover it in concrete and call it a day. It's horrible. But yeah, I did not like Nomragon as a kid. As a guy in his 30s.
As a kid. Wow. Wow.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, it's been almost 20. Actually, it's been 20 years this year.
This year in November, so there's a little ways to go before we can technically say 20 years.
Yeah, except for my wife, who's in the open beta, and so she basically was playing WoW by now. So yeah, but anyway, so that's happening. Zalazane's Fall is the much more narratively satisfying troll event, where you actually do reclaim the troll starting area, which is currently still the troll starting area. So yeah, that's cool. I liked that. I always felt the Zalazane's Fall stuff was cool because you get to see Zalazane again, who, if you ever played a troll leveling in that area, or if you played anybody leveling in Durotar for the Horde, you ran into that. And so, in my opinion, it was the more narratively satisfying of the two experiences.
There's one thing I forgot to say about the Season of Discovery Phase 3 thing with Sunken Temple, et cetera, they are also continuing the experience buffs that they've been doing. So if you are leveling from levels 1 to 39, 40 is the current level cap, you get a 100% experience boost. 100%. So if you want to catch up with your friends, hop on. You are getting double experience all the way to the current level cap. But even after you hit level 40, you're leveling from 40 to 50, you get a 50% experience buff. And so Classic took some time to level in Classic as it stood, but you are going to be moving pretty fast. So that's great. It's not too late to jump in and start playing Season of Discovery. And this one looks really fun. So do not be put off just because you have not started leveling yet.
Yeah, so we got the Wrath of the Lich King Classic news done. We've got the Season of Discovery news done. I think you're right. We don't really need to talk that much about Plunderstorm, Liz. But
yeah, probably not.
I do want to point people to the site. If you go to blizzardwatch.com and click on Plunderstorm or WoW, I think.
That's blizzardwatch.com /WoW will get you there.
There's a Plunderstorm article by Liz that basically just rounds it all up. And I wanted to point out, because hey, we want you guys to look at stuff on the site. And this one looked to me like, wow, this one's really useful. Because now I understand all the stuff I was doing wrong when I tried playing Plunderstorm. So yeah. By the way, I was terrible. I didn't realize how bad I was.
I'm also terrible, but I'm trying my best. Yeah. My best is not very good, but I'm making slow progress through the ranks. Slow progress.
There's we should still mention that the next Hearthstone expansion is coming. We don't really need to talk about it, but we did talk about it. It's here now,
it's
right?
Here. It arrived last week. So yeah, it launched last week. But I think we covered.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to make sure people know it exists.
Yes.
I will say, however, there's a good post on the site about the 9 interesting cards from Hearthstone. You can just go to our site, you know, /Hearthstone and look at that. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a good article. So other stuff that's happening, though. Ash Adar, Harbinger of the Dawn, is currently available in the in-game shop until March 31st. So if you're listening to us live, that's next week. If you are listening to us recorded, that's in a couple of days. But nevertheless, if you want to get that mount, that's how much time you have before it's no longer available in the in-game shop. I don't know if that means they're going to like make it another award. Wasn't it award from the trading house already? I thought it was like one of the first trading post rewards.
I am not sure.
Yeah, I thought this was one mount that they already made. But go ahead, Liz.
Do you know Joe? Because I'm. I'm not remembering this one. It's like I'm pretty sure I have this mount, but I don't remember where I got it from.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, because I remember getting it. I remember logging in and just having it. And I was like, what? Why do I have this? And it was because I had done the trading post that month. I'm pretty sure. But I'm not 100% and I'm not currently in WoW. So I'll have to go back into WoW later and find out. There's also, as Liz pointed out, there's a Amazon Twitch drop type thing where you have to support. Yeah, I think you have to like subscribe to some channels or something.
No. It's just watch 4 hours of World of Warcraft. That's it. This is a pretty easy one.
And you get a really cool crab. It's a giant enemy crab, but it's shrunk down to normal. It's like a miniature giant space hamster. It's like a miniature giant enemy crab. it's encrusted with treasure that it isn't going to share with you. And yeah, it's got a lot of personality, this little pirate crab.
It's very purple and it's wearing a crown and a string of pearls, and I would not take that crown from it because it looks so precious. How could you take its treasure? It looks great.
Just as easily as I could take candy from a baby. They can't stop me. but the only other thing to mention, there was some Amazon Prime gaming stuff, but quite frankly, unless you're listening to this live, it's too late because both of them got expired the day we're recording. However, you can still get the Nihon Genji, which is a skin for Genji in Overwatch 2. You can get that until April 23rd. So if you want to get a new Genji skin, which to my eyes looks like a kind of normal Genji skin, it's kind of white. That's basically it. But you can get it. So there you go. I think that pretty much covers everything. I don't think we left anything out. So we are going to try
there's so much going on.
I mean, we blitzed that. We went through some of that really fast. We blitzed that, and it's still most of the show to get through it. But we're going to try to do some emails. So, Joe, do you want to read the first one of these, or you want me to do it?
I want you to do it. Read to me, Matt.
Okay, first off, before I read it, if you've got a question for the show, we have a Discord server you can go to. We have two channels we use there. There's the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel for our patrons, because our patrons pay us to exist, and we like that. It allows us to continue to exist. So, yay, thank you guys so much. Also, you can use the normal Q and Podcast Questions channel. If you're not a patron, we still love you guys. We look there too. And finally, if you don't like using Discord at all, you know, maybe you're old like me and you can't fathom these newfangled Discords and things, you can still email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line Podcast of Blizzard Watch, and try to let us know it's for the show if you can. But regardless, that's how you can contact us. If you put in a proper pronunciation of your name, that makes it easier for me not to mangle it. And that's great. I would love it if you could do that, because I'm not here to mangle your name. I'm here to say your name, whatever the way you want it said. So, but anyway, this first one is from our old friend Korn. So I was listening to y'all talking about the idea of StarCraft versus Warhammer 40K. And well, I sort of agree that Warhammer would dunk pretty hard on SC on the scale argument. I mean, I love me some Korn, and I often imagine Korn stomping on the head of the Zerg while listening to Blind by Korn, because I think Korn would like Korn. I started wondering, what if you put all of Warhammer up against all of Blizzard? Hear me out and smell me later. Or not at all. I kind of need a shower. But I was thinking that I would be real interested in a weird Heroes of the Storm relaunch when all of Blizzard's franchises, even the weird alternate stuff like Evil Malfurion and Shondo Illidan or Fel Thrall, all that stuff plus games like Rock and Roll Racing or The Lost Vikings, came together into the Nexus to fight off an invasion of just all of Warhammer. Imagine Sargeras and the Legion up against real chaos. So is this a good idea, or is it because I haven't slept in a couple of days because I picked up Chaos Bane, and now I keep thinking about a fight between Braggy Axebiter and the Nephilim, who is a barbarian girl, because duh, that's basically me, and I just ran with it from there. Seriously, Chaos Bane is the best ARPG, and y'all don't talk about it enough. Korn, seriously, like, just imagine Korn bellowing hate something sometime some way and tell me that's not exciting. It's like you have a whole seat and you'll rip it off from the chair and beat some Eldar to death with it.
I love Korn.
Now it's your turn to talk, Joe, because I just heard all of that.
Yeah, so I still think that Blizzard wins. And this is not because I don't like 40K, because, I mean, one look at my house and you would understand directly the pile of the plastic and tonnage therein. But it's the characters, I think, in the universe of Warhammer, just they tend to be nigh cosmic entities already. A Hero of the Storms thing would be really cool. Maybe something like that. Maybe an ARPG where it's one versus the other. I would definitely be down for something like that. But unless you're talking about, like, the Titans coming down and fighting the Chaos Gods, I don't think you're going to get an even playing field. Which, you know, I think you could probably take Sargeras, Korn. Maybe. Maybe you might have some difficulty with Sargeras and Aggramar. But I don't know. And going back to the one thing that you said here about Chaos Bane being one of the best ARPGs that we don't talk about enough. Unfortunately, and we did talk about this a while ago, Chaos Bane is one of my favorite ARPGs. It came out at a time where there was a lull. I think it was the full complete edition release in 2020. It was really well done as far as the Warhammer fantasy universe goes, because it was fantasy that the Chaos Bane's based in, not Age of Sigmar. And it was just a very solid game through and through. Versus, you know, it was at a time where, like, we had the Diablo lull going on, and then Diablo 4 hadn't released yet. Diablo 2 Remastered hadn't released yet. It was just perfect timing.
Immortal hadn't even released yet.
Correct. But it's just, I mean, this was out before then too. 2020 was just the complete edition with all the DLCs and everything. It's a really fun game. And it's one of those games that I bring it up often. And we had an episode months ago at this point. I can't remember. Probably, I think it was like 100 episodes back, where we talked about specifically, somebody asked the question of what ARPGs we like, or things that aren't Diablo that we enjoy, and Chaos Bane was absolutely on my list with stuff like Victor Vron, which is another game that I think is woefully underrated, especially the Motorhead expansion for it, because sometimes being told to go kill demons that are dressed like Nazis and being directed by Lemmy and Floyd Kaufman is just what you need for the soul.
If Lemmy is in a game, it's not, you just can't do wrong. I don't care what Lemmy's doing.
Yeah, and I will. This is one of my true feelings, that Lloyd Kaufman as the bartender at the end of the world just makes the perfect amount of sense. But it is something that I would recommend people pick up or play or see if they can get their hands on. It goes on sale ridiculously often. And if you like Diablo and you even have a tangential knowledge or passing knowledge of Warhammer Fantasy, it's well worth your time. And even if you don't and you want to learn a little bit about it, I highly recommend Chaos Bane. And Corn, go get some sleep and take a shower, please.
Or at least don't tell people you don't know that you haven't.
Oh, no, that's perfectly on brand for Corn.
I know. It's just, geez, Corn. All right, next one. This one's from Metalzani. Question for the podcast. Hello, Transmog Watch. You know us too well, Metalzani, and you must be stopped. On the subject of Cataclysm Classic, would you be interested in a system that every time time walking comes and around for that week, you could talk to Chromie and they would scale you down to that expansion level and possibly even rework your talents to that expansion so you could run the raids at that level? That would make time walking feel more like walking back through time and reliving a piece of WoW history instead of running 5 dungeons then logging off. Either of you guys have an opinion on this one? I think Liz, because I heard you make a noise.
I said, I mean, yeah, time walking these days does feel like, okay, I logged on, I hit LFG, and I logged off again. So, but the question, I mean, do we need that? Or is that, like, the domain of Classic? Or, I'm not sure. I don't know if that would actually get me to play it any more than I already do. I mean, I'm pretty okay with time walking as it is. I do like it when they add time walking raids, because I think those are really interesting and give you a different experience. But I mean, I'm pretty content with time walking. What about you, Joe?
So I like time walking as it is. I maybe they could do a little more with it if they ever felt the desire for it. However, the idea that you propose, Metalzani, is sort of already kind of what they do with the leveling experience if you take your time. So when you create a new character, and I'm leveling yet another alt, because I realized that I didn't have a rogue at max level yet. So we started, and my Kul'tiran rogue is all of like level 12 right now. But you choose the expansion you level in and you go through those quests and zones. And in some cases, I'm actually finding people that are like in trade chat, like old school trade chat style, looking for people to run dungeons with or looking for people to run raids with. It's a very fascinating microcosm of basically grouping in this type of content. In terms of like the mechanics of it, I think it would be a little too much to ask for that type of scaling. And I don't know that the retail game could physically handle it. And I think Classic existing in its own thing and being what it is. And I have read that we received some comments about some of our discussions about Cataclysm Classic and WoW Classic in general. And I have read them. So thank you very much for your responses and your opinions on that. But having it be its own thing, I think is fine. Having it be separate from retail is fine. Having it have its own identity or figuring out what its identity is, I think is where it needs to be. And I think time walking is just a fun diversion that lets you do old content with friends or just experience some older content, like maybe some rad dungeons that you didn't get to go through because you weren't playing during that time frame. And I've heard that from a lot of people where it's like, well, I didn't play until Wrath, so the Burning Crusade stuff is kind of cool because I never really got to experience it. Or, you know, I started playing during Cataclysm and the Wrath dungeons are kind of cool. I didn't know these existed. So I think they're fine as they are. They're little slices of the past brought up to current speed, somewhat. Some of them don't work well with certain kits and abilities, which I get where that's coming from, because, man, not being able to cleanse diseases is a pain, let me tell you. But I think we're okay where we're at.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What about you, Matt? What do you think?
I like the idea, but I think it is a little overly ambitious. I would like it if you could either, like, the way that they work now, as far as I can remember, is that time walking basically just scales everybody to the level of the dungeon, right?
Yeah,
that's, it doesn't give you a whole new talents. It just scales everybody to that dungeon level.
Correct.
So it's the new talents thing. Yeah, the new talents thing. I can see why you'd want to do it. But the idea that you're suddenly using talents from, say, Wrath of the Lich King, when you're in a Wrath of the Lich King time walking, then you'd have to actually spec into talents, you know? And then you'd only have them till you zoned out. And now, do I have to then respec my normal in WoW talents? Does it save my Wrath talents for every time walking I do? Or do I have to there's a lot more to this than you think. So I think it is overly ambitious. I do like the idea of making time walking something that's more about letting you do the content whenever you want, as opposed to, hey, it's time walking this week. Like, that's one of the things I don't like about time walking nowadays, is it is just something that happens sometimes. I feel like time walking could be a way to keep all the original dungeons still somewhat relevant. Every time you go to a new expansion, the old dungeons are still useful. They're still relevant. They still give you a chance to get gear that you could use. We don't have that, and I think we should. If it were up to me, I would make time walking something that you just can do whenever you want to. It's just another form of dungeon, like Mythic or what have you. But I don't think that's likely to happen, and I really don't think that we're going to get one where you get to, like, the game literally turns back into what it was during that expansion for you to, you know, as Liz pointed out, we already have WoW Classic, and we're soon going to have Cataclysm Classic. So we're going to, at this point, we've got multiple different ways to play the original 1-60 WoW Classic. And then we can play, you know, now we're up to, you know, Wrath of Lich King. We'll soon be up to Cataclysm. There are various rule sets for Classic already. I don't think having it in retail, I think I love the idea, but I don't think it would make sense.
Yeah.
That's just where I am with it.
Yeah.
But we're exactly at time. Do either of you want to do another one, or you think we're done?
We got about 5 minutes left because of time and structure.
Then we will do one more. But yeah, man, seriously, the Transmog Watch thing, that's too close, man. That's too close. You can't just call us that like that, because it's too much like what we actually are. This one's from Flan, but it's not really a question. It's just Flan said, I am trying to determine how much searching I have to do before giving up and asking Lorewatch my Cyberpunk 2077 question, or just bug Joe and Matt. Well, you did, and we answered it, and we had fun with it. I just wanted to tell you that, because I thought it was something you might want to know if you hadn't already noticed. But from Tetsemi, this one seems to be relatively timely, if somewhat depressing.
Yeah.
Is the games industry going to implode like the U.S. housing crisis, or is this just a market correction? Either you who want to talk about this one?
Yes, it is both.
Go Joe.
In my opinion, I think we're hitting critical mass on how big things go. Because this is the problem with unfettered, like, capitalist growth is that eventually it stops. The problem is the market has been pushing growth, even after it should have stopped and been scaled appropriately, causes it to burst. We're sort of at that point. You have the big companies assimilating smaller companies and sort of dividing out into essentially three major holdings, maybe four at this point. Because you have what? You have EA, you have Microsoft, you have Sony. I'm not counting Nintendo because they're relatively small in the market share.
And they're relatively their own thing.
Their own thing. They march to their own drum. And then you have Tencent, right? These sort of monolithic conglomerations of the smaller entities eventually are going to hit a critical mass where the people that work for them are just going to start splintering off and doing their own thing. And we're starting to see that. We've been seeing it may not be a full like crash overnight implosion, but look at the amount of talent that is doing their own thing now. Look at all these game companies that are that have already started this journey years ago that are now starting to push games and starting to reveal the games they've been working on and are starting to get the hype trains going, or at least letting people know that, hey, you believed in us. We're starting to do the thing. And that is part of that implosion, but it's mostly market correction. And you start to see people look more at those smaller games or games that aren't necessarily, I'm loathe to use the term AAA anymore. But they're not big budget slog fests anymore. People tend to be looking for maybe smaller games now, or games that are more involved or more sensible to them. And part of that is because the core group of gamers that sort of made these companies what they are by buying those products, we're getting older and we ain't got time for that no more. I can't spend 70 hours in a week, you know, playing Call of Duty or Modern Warfare or Medal of Honor or things like that anymore. I can't sit there and grind RTSs like I used to. I can't sit at my computer and play World of Warcraft for 16 hours in a day. I used to do when an expansion released, I used to do a 24-hour continuous stream. I can't do that no more. My body can't do it. So I tend to look for smaller games. Roguelikes tend to be more what I'm looking for. And there's a bunch of really good ones out there. And you're starting to see more and more of those pop up. And yes, some of them are associated with the larger the production houses. Some of them are, you know, owned by Microsoft or whatever the case is. But a lot of them are starting to not be. So I think we're going to see, I don't know if, I don't think it's going to be a full implosion. But I think the implosion already happened. And maybe that implosion was, you know, the fact that many of these companies laid off thousands of employees.
And certainly one thing we've been seeing in the gaming industry is that everyone is pushing engagement right now. And they're not necessarily making games to say, oh, I'm going to make this great, super fun game that I want to play, that all my friends are going to want to play. It's like, no, you see a lot of developers and game companies going like, okay, well, I need to have engagement. I need to, I need to have people playing so many hours a week or... And so they're pushing something that is not necessarily fun. So you get battle passes, you get limited time events, you get all of these things that drive the metrics of the game, but do not necessarily make the game fun. Don't necessarily make the game fun for players because you are pushing engagement, not necessarily pushing fun. And so that's a very frustrating thing. And it does feel like a very corporate thing. This is a corporatization of gaming because everyone's realized games can make money. We want games to make money. So it's like we've got to have everything as a live service game. Everything has a battle pass. And that is not fun. You're getting at this point to the blood from a stone point of gaming where you have all of these people playing games, but there's only so many hours in the day. And, you know, like, okay, so I need to be playing Plunderstorm. Oh, but I should also be keeping up with the Diablo 4 Battle Pass. Oh, but also there's the Hearthstone Battle Pass. There was just a new expansion, and it has a new Battle Pass. Oh, well, but also World of Warcraft Season 4 is coming out for Dragonflight. I'm going to have to play that with my guild. There's a whole new upgrade track coming in Season 4, and it's like, how many hours in the day do you think I have? Not that many, not enough to keep up with that. And then, of course, you know, there are the games that I want to play. Like, there's Baldur's Gate. I still haven't finished Cyberpunk 2077. There's so much out there, and...
Oh, yeah, we're at critical only density.
There's only so far gaming companies can drive their own engagement metrics, and to an extent that it feels like all that some companies are interested in, they just want to tell their shareholders about how many monthly active users they have. By pushing limited time events and, oh, battle pass and, oh, fear of missing out on everything. It's crazy making. It's an impossible situation for gamers. And I think that's where the bubble is. The bubble isn't necessarily in the companies. It's that it's in the gamers. It's in the gamers' time. You can only push engagement for so long in so many places. And they're overdoing it. They're overdoing all of this. And it's got to stop. you yeah. can't support it.
I mean, I don't think I could say anything on the subject of, you know, games as a service turning into games as your other job. But it's definitely a big deal that it's happening. Then you see stuff like, I don't know if you guys remember Logic Artists.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You guys who made the Expedition series.
Yeah.
They went off and got, they got bought by a company called Dynasty Studios, who I'd never heard of mm-hmm. before, but a lot of them stayed at THQ Nordic and are part of Campfire Cabal, which is essentially the guys who are running the Expedition series now. The Campfire Cabal guys seem to be the guys who wanted to keep making Expeditions games. That's the game they wanted to make. They like the Expeditions mm-hmm. formula, and that's fine. I think the Expedition games are pretty good. So cool. Yeah, keep making those. But Logic Artists, I don't know if they wanted to do this. Like the people who went over to Dynasty Studios, I don't know if they wanted to do this or if Dynasty Studios wanted to do this. But their next game is a blockchain game. It's going to use the blockchain. Yeah. You know that term when it says use the blockchain, you ask them, what do you mean? And they can never really tell you. Or as the guy at Pirate Studios pointed out, blockchain doesn't work because you try to use it as the database to your game, but a database can do things that blockchain doesn't do. Blockchain isn't mm-hmm. a database.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know Joe knows way more about this than I do, but I do pay attention.
Doing great, man.
Yeah, there's a whole thing where you see these companies making decisions not because they want to make great games, not even for the health of their studio. Like, I feel like I'm going to mention this one of them. You know, I won't stay too long on it. But Larian Studios walked away from Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
They said,
That's a huge thing.
Yeah. We don't feel like we have anything we're excited to do here. And I kind of get it. They've been working on the game for years. They had it in open, you know, in access, early access for like 2 years. They have done a lot of work on Baldur's Gate 3. I can get them saying, guys, can we do something else now?
Well, not only that, but they released a complete game.
Yes, a complete game with a beginning, middle, and end, and everything. And
even an epilogue. It has an epilogue now.
Yeah, and they're actually going to put more epilogues in just before they finally give up on it. But Larian made a decision that almost no other gaming studio would have.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're simultaneously small enough that they can do, they don't have to worry about shareholders or anything like that. And they're big enough.
They do a little bit, right?
Yeah, not, for one thing, they're, you know, the country that they're working in is less
Belgium,
capitalist
right?
friendly. Yeah. Yeah. They've got a Canadian studio as well, but yes, Belgium. And the other thing is that with the success of Baldur's Gate 3, they understand what that means for them and not for the corporate overlords who own the license to Baldur's Gate or D&D, because I think it was somebody in our work chat today. It might have been you, Liz, or it might have been the other Liz, or it might have been both of you, talking about how you're much more interested in what Larian's going to do than what Wizards is going to do with the license, right? Because the thing you got that got your loyalty was the quality of the game,
mm-hmm.
not the license that it was attached to.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I have nothing wrong with Dungeons & Dragons, but I'm interested in what Larian is going to do, because they did really interesting things with that. They didn't have to, but they did.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see next.
And I think that the density of the game ecosystem right now, I mean, I saw this, I can't verify this piece of information, but I saw it today and I thought about it a lot after I saw it. The video game industry as an industry is twice as big as the American movie industry.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I'm going to say this. It shouldn't be. It's artificially big. You have companies like, I'm going to talk about EA, and then I'm going to stop, and we can just end the show, because if I keep talking,
we'll have a whole other show's worth of topics. Yep.
Yeah. But
it's true.
Back in 2016, Electronic Arts decided that come hell or high water, they were going to make it so Call of Duty lost market share.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to get Battlefield out in front of Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And do you know what they did to make that happen? It didn't happen, by the way. They took Titanfall 2, a game that is unique amongst shooters of that type, and that it has a wonderful story campaign that is short, engaging, and punchy. At no point does it lag off. It doesn't have any bloat to it. It's a crisp, fun story about a heroic robot who loses one friend and finds another and sacrifices himself to keep his little buddy safe. And it will make you cry, because BT is just such a good boy. But they put it out there to die. They literally sent it out against Call of Duty to die, just to knock down Call of Duty's market share. And it didn't work because Call of Duty rolled over Titanfall like what you might expect a game that routinely makes billions of dollars would do to the sequel to a game only a couple thousand people played.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part is, you know what the other game that destroyed Titanfall 2 was? Battlefield 1.
Mm-hmm.
That's the EA game. So not only did they send it out to die, they sent it out to die knowing full well that if it didn't die, their own game was going to come up behind it and kill it. None of this was a good decision for the game or the game studio developing game.
Or the players.
Or the players. And think about how often that happens.
Mm.
How often a game comes out too soon, you get a No Man's Sky situation, or you get a Cyberpunk 2077 situation, where the game's got so much potential, but you know you can't play it. I know people who were playing Jedi, I think it was Jedi Survivor. Mm-hmm. They were playing Jedi Survivor, and then they had to stop. Not because they didn't like it, not because they didn't want to keep playing it, because it was unplayable.
Mm.
It didn't happen to everybody, but it happened. Enough people were blocked out. This is the kind of behavior you get when all they can think about is growth, because unsustained growth without any regard to the functioning of the ecosystem is essentially cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And cancer kills you. Nobody gets stronger from cancer.
And we were talking in the pre-show about Marvel movies specifically, and I think there are some similarities here in that, you know, Marvel there's a growth mindset there. To make more movies, to make them interconnected, so you have to go and see all of them. And it's all about more, 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 more. And just like in video games, there's too much to do. There are too many limited time events. There's just too much for me to find time to do. There are so many Marvel movies, so many Marvel shows, so many comics, and you have to keep up with a lot of this in order to even understand what's going on. It's blood from a stone. Even if I enjoyed this, I cannot make it my full-time job to do all of these things, to keep up with all of these things. And it's unreasonable for game companies to expect that.
I'll end it with this. We talked about this 4 or 5 episodes back. It's fatigue. It's the same. It's happening across the board with a lot of stuff. People complain about it with comic books. People complain about it with Magic the Gathering. People complain about it. About it with D&D and everything else. When they start pushing so much content that you can't consume it all and you can't really dig your teeth into it, you're going to get fatigued. And eventually you're just going to give up. And that's what happens. That's why people stop going to Marvel movies. That's why they're talking about all these things that are talking clickbaity titles of all these Marvel movies are failing because people are, whatever. They're mad against the woke agenda or they're mad against the conservative agenda, whatever. I don't care. It's not that. It's people are fatigued. There's just too many dang movies for them to keep up on. It's just there's too much for us to consume and we start becoming choosier about it. And if something is too difficult for us to enjoy, think about that statement. Too difficult for us to enjoy. Guess what? We're going to walk away from it. That's just what happens.
We don't have a lot of options there. But still, every game company has that growth mindset where they expect us to do their battle pass to drive their monthly active users numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And we just can't. We can only do so much. And game companies expect everything.
We talked about it before. And I think the metaphor we used at the beginning of the pre-show was, it's like the goose and the golden egg. It's like when the game company gets their hands on a goose and it lays a golden egg, they don't go, oh, what a good goose, and try to cherish that goose and put it in a nice safe place where it can lay more golden eggs in peace. They rip the goose open looking for the gold. And then now the goose is dead, so there's not going to be any more golden eggs, guys. And that's it. But we should move on to wrapping up the show. So, Joe?
Yep, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast signing community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you both Joe and Liz for just being here and being awesome. Thank you to everybody listening for giving us an audience for the podcast. Again, if you'd like to ask us a question, you can do so either through our Discord. We've got the Patreon Q&A podcast questions channel, or the just Q and podcast questions channel. We'd be looking both of them for questions. I'm going to apologize to 6K for not getting to your question about the planet needing a sun. The short answer is no, as long as the planet has some source of energy to make life possible. But the much more involved answer, but I don't have time. If you want to email us, you can at podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Subject line podcast at Blizzard Watch. We know it's for this show. We have two other podcasts as well. There's Lore Watch, which we do every Sunday. And there's Tavern Watch, which we do sometimes. If you'd like us to do it more often, you know, asking us stuff to do on it, that'd be helpful. But yeah, this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Again, I want to emphasize too something Liz has pointed out before. You can go to Blizzard Watch, the site, as well, and we have articles on all this stuff.
We do. Amazing.
So you can go read those and click through and check it out and browse and basically feel free to fall down the rabbit hole of weird posts, because they're there. And we've got stuff on all sorts of things, mostly Blizzard and its games, but we do cover other things from time to time, fair amount of RPG content, and it's all there. And you can go read it. You can figure out where we get all this stuff from and how it's all interconnected. So yeah, I wanted to encourage that. Thank you guys so much for being here with us, and we will see you next week.